Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning, Central Indiana. I would like for you to hear a wonderful message preached back in July at Crown of Life Baptist Church by Dr. Greg Dixon, Pastor Emeritus, entitled Two Justifications. Dr. Dixon has been my mentor for many years since I entered the ministry almost 30 years ago. He is an amazing Bible instructor, and I wish every preacher boy would have had an opportunity to sit under his tutelage, just as Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Let's go ahead and listen to part two now.
James is saying that if you want to be an heir of the kingdom, you cannot show favoritism to the people of God. He says you can't brown nose the rich. That's sort of a crass way of saying it. In other words, you can't play up to the rich over the poor. You can't show deference to the rich over the poor. That's what he's saying. But these people, and by the way, he's writing this to the Jews. Who has a problem with this? Who Who has had an inherent problem with this? The Jews. I'm not an anti-Semite, but who has had a problem with this down through the centuries? The Jews have had a problem with this, an inherent problem with this. They've always had a problem with this. And James, a Jew, is writing to his own people. He said, haven't the rich delivered you up to the judgment? Who put them in the gas chambers? Who has always delivered them up to persecution? That's what James is telling them. Who's always persecuted the Christians? Who's always persecuted the believers? The poor or the rich? Verse 7, do they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? Do not they blaspheme? Look at Hollywood. Look at Hollywood. You say, well, I know some Christian actors. Yeah, there's a few. But they drum them out. They won't even let them have decent jobs, will they? Now, it doesn't mean that the rich can't be saved. See, we even miss that. The rich young ruler came to Jesus, and he came and worshiped. See? And I always taught that, well, he was lost. Well, he came and worshiped. How could he be lost if he came and worshiped? He said, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. Well, wait a minute. Doesn't Jesus know how to be saved? What did he say in John chapter 3? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. John chapter 3. He's the one that gave from John 15 through 19. He's the one that gave that plan of salvation about believing to be saved in all those verses in John chapter 3. You mean he doesn't know how to be saved? And he tells the rich young ruler, keep the commandments. And the rich young ruler said, well, I've kept them from my youth up. And Jesus said, sell all that thou hast and give to the poor and take up thy cross and follow me. And he went away sorrowful because he was very rich. And Jesus says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And in the book of Mark, he says to enter into the kingdom of God, which means that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is synonymous. Right. But I always taught that they were separate because Scofield did. And you know what the disciples said? How can any be saved? And Jesus said, with God, nothing is impossible. A rich man can be saved. All he has to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's easy for a rich man to be saved, but it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. Because it's hard for him to give up his riches. You see, look what James said in verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, my friends, look at verse 13. For ye shall have judgment without mercy that have showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. You see, we're talking about the judgment seat of Christ here. We're not talking about the great white throne judgment. We're talking about the judgment seat of Christ. No mercy for those who showed no mercy. Did you know that the golden rule is in the Bible? It's found in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 12. You can read it there. You need to turn there right now, but you can read it. It's in the book of Matthew, chapter, do unto others as you would have those do unto you. It's in the Bible. The royal law. See, part of the problem is this. In those days, they did not have a middle class. It was either rich or the poor. Socialism does not produce a middle class. We're rich in comparison to what they had in those days because we have a middle class. Our middle class is wealthy in comparison to what they had in those days. We're wealthy in comparison to what they had then. They had no middle class. So it's difficult for us to understand this. See, Catholicism produces rich and poor. Communism, socialism, produces rich and poor. They have no middle class. It's difficult for us to understand this. Jesus said, love thy neighbor. If everybody would practice what Jesus taught, there would be no poverty. He didn't say love the world. He said love thy neighbor. He taught the church to take care of the church. He didn't say for the church to feed the world. The church can't even feed the church, let alone the world. He never taught the church to feed the world. In fact, if you want to get right down to it, they were to only feed the widows and orphans and even the widows in need, true widows. I'm not going to get into that right now. My friends, listen to me. Do you know what the preachers are preaching? They're preaching that believers do not sin. Greg and I sat with a preacher the other day and he said, believers do not sin. Well, what are you going to do about 1 John 1, 8-10? He that saith he hath no sin is a liar and the truth is not in him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, what are we talking about? The scripture says, some men's sins go before them to the judgment. The judgment seat of Christ is not just a judgment of works. The works are the evidence against us. The great white throne judgment says, and they were judged according to their works. Works and sins are synonymous. The same at the judgment seat of Christ, sin and works are synonymous. It'd be like having a son and he's in trouble with the juvenile. He goes out here and commits a crime and he's going to have to go stand before the juvenile judge. And you say to your son, now son, you don't have to worry. Your work's going to be judged. You're not going to be judged tomorrow when you go before that judge. What are you talking about? You're going to be judged, but your works are going to be the evidence against you. But you're going to be judged and you're going to go into juvenile center. Your works are not going, you're going. They say it's the Bema seat. It was the Bema seat that Jesus was lashed and beaten with stripes. It was the Bema seat. They're saying, well, it's just like an Olympics. No, it's a judgment. Why do they? The King James Bible says it's a judgment seat. Now look at verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? See, what the preachers are teaching, they're saying, well, faith without works is dead. See, they say, well, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily bread, and one say unto him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, and so on and so forth. Verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me my faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, and so on and so forth. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now wait a minute. Now let's talk about this. Look at that again. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now wait a minute. Now wait a minute. That's what I said in the beginning. There's two justifications. That's what James just said here. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seeth how faith wrought with his works, and by works hath faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now wait a minute. There's something missing here. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. All right, let's go to Romans 4. Let's go to Romans 4. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without work, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose men sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom our Lord will not impute sin. cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Go back to verse 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. Go back to James chapter 2. But there is a justification that speaks of our works practically before God. Now listen to this. It is an infused righteousness, that which we add to our faith. This concerns our justification before the Lord as a servant, faithful or unprofitable. Either one. It can be either one. Listen to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. Paul said to the Corinthians, and such were some of you. Now listen to this very carefully. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. Now listen to this very carefully. I wondered about this verse all my ministry. He says, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified. Then, listen to this, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He put justification after sanctification. You get that? Justification after sanctification. That's what I'm speaking to you about today. Two justifications. Justification by faith for salvation, and justification, which is sanctification for the kingdom. Two salvations. Salvation for eternity, which is by faith alone, and salvation for the kingdom, which is by faith works. See? Amen. All right. This last verse may speak of this special, this practical justification, in that some of these Corinthians were not living as Sodomites and such like, though many were carnal. But the next verses speak of this practical justification. 1 Corinthians 4:3. But with me, Paul said, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. Verse 4. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 4. For I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified. He's not talking about salvation. He's not talking about justification by faith. He's talking about justification for the kingdom. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. That's why he could say at the end of his life, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. But he couldn't say it until the end of his life. But Calvinists and Reformed doctrine people cannot say that they're truly saved until the end of their life, because they don't have the assurance of salvation. But we have the assurance of our salvation, but we don't have the assurance of the kingdom to the end of our life, when we can say, yes, I've lived a faithful life. Because we don't know. We don't know what we're... I don't know what I'm going to do between now and the end of my life. Many old preachers do foolishly. I could tell you of a man, of a faithful preacher, who was an old-time fundamentalist preacher, a leader of fundamentalism, who in his old age went on a trip to Europe and induced a maid to get in bed with him. I mean, the point I'm making is, but he didn't believe in this doctrine of the kingdom. Maybe he should have. See the point I'm making? He didn't teach this doctrine. In fact, he was a contemporary who wrote The Judgment Seat of Christ? Patton. Yeah, he was a contemporary of Patton, and he rejected this doctrine. He was an American pastor, and he was with Patton in the Baptist Union, and he rejected this doctrine. They preached together. He sat and listened to Patton preach and neighbor preach these doctrines and rejected it. Maybe he should have believed it. Now I want to wrap this up. You answer this question for me. It says right here, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Does the Bible contradict itself? Paul said he was justified by faith.
You have been listening to Dr. Greg Dixon, Pastor Emeritus of the Indianapolis Baptist Temple. Please come back and listen to part 3 next week at 7:30 here on Freedom 95.
Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.